There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, that indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You may share it with us there. You can also email it to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can do that on our website. You can send us the text version of it. Write it out if you'd like at realghoststoriesonline.com. The email really for sending audio files if you want to record it as an M4A or MP3 or whatever and send us your voice sharing the story. It works great if you're outside of the United States and don't want to deal with long-distance charges. That's another good way to get your story to us. Jenny has a day off, and today you got me here on the show. Some fun stuff coming up on today's show. I got a new feature where we are going to take a look at a previous EPP episode, give you a taste of it. If you are not an EPP, you can get a better idea on what those episodes are all about. And it's not the preview that you may have heard in the promo for the episode. These are different cuts, different pieces that you will only hear on these episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. So that preview is coming up a little bit later in the show at Real Ghost Stories Online. Obviously, we are in the month of December now, so that's exciting. So my request is going out to you guys so we can kind of put together somewhat of a spooky holiday-themed Christmas episode in the coming weeks. If you have any holiday ghost stories, things that may have happened when you went back to grandma's house over the river and through the woods, maybe it was just a normal Christmas or whatever you're celebrating holiday and weird things happened. We'd love to hear your stories. Holiday horror stories. And someone asked me the other day, it was kind of funny, they're like, can it just be about dysfunctional family members and not about ghosts at all? As entertaining as that would be, I think that's actually for a different show. But I understand how there could be horror involved there. But no, it does need to be somewhat ghostly related in some way, shape, or form. So looking for those. If you got any of those that you've been sitting on and would like to share, please do send those out to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first story at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. My name's Eric, and I'm from Minooka, Illinois. I love your show. I listen to it all the time at work. I listen to it on Spotify. So I don't know if you guys really get money from them, but, you know, but I do plan on becoming an EPP soon. Anyway, my story takes place in Minooka, Illinois. I just recently quit my job as a custodian at the Minooka Preschool / district office, and the building, look, history, it's the oldest building in the oldest school building in the district. and it was built like early 1900s. Anyway, there's a few stories I want to tell you about it. Hopefully I don't take too much of your time. Anyway, the first thing is, it wasn't me, but one of the custodians in the summer was walking in the gym, and there was some summer school going on. Now, in the gym, there's like two sets of bleachers on each side. Underneath the bleachers on each side are locker rooms that are no longer in use. They're empty. They don't use them anymore. Anyway, one of the custodians was just walking across the gym when out of nowhere, one of the little kids grabs his hand and points to the staircase and says, "Don't go down there. Mr. Wiggles is down there." And he got nothing of it. And as time went on, you know, things kept happening. One night I was walking there at night. I was by myself. I was finishing up. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I had an hour and a half left in my shift. And I was, you know, just doing some extra work, like getting recycling stuff. And I walked past the library, well, the old library, and the lights were off, and the doors locked. And I went outside, and when I came back in, the lights were on, and I freaked out, and I left. But it gets scarier, so I'm doing the boring stuff first. Anyway, one time during the day, a teacher was in the gym with her class, and they were using, like, the dodgeballs and stuff, and at the end of the class, they put the balls in, like, a bin, but the kids put too many balls in the bin, and it overflowed, and all the balls fell down the staircase underneath the bleachers that goes into the locker rooms. Well, the teacher went down there to go get the balls, to go pick them up, and she went down there, turned the light on, and she couldn't find any other balls. Well, she turned around and looked at the top of the staircase, and all the balls somehow just magically appeared on top of the staircase, neatly stacked for her. So she was really freaked out. She had no idea who did it. And then on another occasion, one of the teachers was there on a Saturday by herself, students doing some extra work, and they were getting ready to leave when they heard some noises coming from the boys' bathroom by her room. And it wasn't anything like, you know, normal, just like weird noises. So they were freaked out and ran out of the building. And I thought maybe it just like, when they told me this, I thought just like, you know, mechanics or something. Well, the night before I quit, I was getting ready to leave. It was 11:30 at night, and I clocked out, and like, I was like, well, you know, I gotta go out of town and get gas and stuff, so I'll just use the bathroom before I leave. So I get in the bathroom, and while I'm in the bathroom, I hear, okay, in fact, I'm by myself, and I hear, like, footsteps, like, loud footsteps, walk past the bathroom, and it really freaked me out, and I got scared, I ran. So I know those stories are really, like, almost cliche, but this is the experience that we have at the school, and we think it's Mr. Wiggles, and we call him Mr. Wiggles now. So yeah, if you could let me know what you think about all this, I'd appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
I think you have a fairly haunted building there. Who is it? Why is it? I think things obviously lean a bit towards probably custodial type figure, but I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean it 100%. It could just be, honestly, a kid that's trying to help out and be of use. But yeah, obviously there is something going on there. Some of those locations that you talked about in that story just kind of creep me out, because it makes, you know, when you hear a story, you immediately create a setting for it in your mind. And the setting I create, you know, it, oftentimes you create it based on your own experiences and places that you've been or seen or, you know, experienced. So I go back to my schooling and some of the places that I went. And a lot of the places I went were fairly old buildings. And when he talked about the locker room, just kind of the brick and the oldness of it. And just the overall creepy, odd feeling I remember in some of those rooms. And really for completely unfounded reasons. I didn't really suspect mine to be haunted per se, but just some of those settings. And then you apply a ghost story to it, it can make it very creepy very quickly. At least it sounds like whatever you have going on there is being somewhat helpful. And it's not being intrusive or trying to cause harm. That would be a haunting that if I think I were dealing with, I'd probably be like, continue on. You do your thing. And you're creating less work for me. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Got that EPP preview coming up here in just a few minutes at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller right now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, my name is Courtney. I found your show a few weeks ago and I've just fell in love with it and having people call in and tell their ghost stories. So I decided, why not tell mine? I haven't really told a lot of people this because those who I have told have shunned me and have actually told me to never talk to them again. So here we go. When I was 6 years old, my family lived in quite an older house, and I just remember I could never sleep, and I kept telling my parents, you know, something's not right, I don't feel good, and for a six-year-old, my parents just thought, oh, that's kind of odd, but nothing really of it, until one night, I told my parents, there's an old lady standing next to my bed. And they came into my room, and I vividly remember her standing to the left of me, looking down at me, smiling. And I wasn't scared. I was more curious. And I told my parents she died in the house. She died in my bathroom. And we did some digging in the house, and it turns out that an old woman did live there, and she passed away. So we absolutely believe that's who it was. And upon finding this out, my dad decided to reveal that he himself had seen spirits growing up. So it's something that runs in our family. My grandmother has seen them. My great-grandfather has seen them. So this wasn't anything new. But where it starts to get kind of demonic is what really scared me. I used to be visited by someone called the Fireman. And my parents got nervous, and they took me to a church where they baptized me and told me I was dreaming, but not to worry anymore. And I was so upset that they didn't believe me because I was raised, you know, going to church and everything. And after that, I was like, they don't believe me. They think I'm dreaming. And I was actually being visited by the devil. And it's just something you can't really describe because it's so terrifying that even to this day, I'm 22 now and I can't really talk about it. And I told my parents I was visited by him quite frequently. And every time he got close to me, something white, like I couldn't see what it was, but it was this bright ball of white, would get closer to me. And then the fireman would move away. So we called one of our good friends, and he came over, and he said that was spirit protecting me from a demonic entity, quite possibly the devil. And I just remember waking up one night, and there just being these white glowing balls just flying around my room, and it was like there was a war going on, and I just remember getting up and running to my parents' room and screaming and crying. So we had the man come to our house and actually was quite nervous because he was kind of he was able to sense it, and he knew that it was a dark entity. So he purified the house, gave us holy water, told us to say the spiritual prayer before we went to sleep. And apparently they were in the talks that, you know, I had some bruising on me, and they were worried that it could be like a possession trying to take place. So over the next few weeks, my parents monitored me. We set up cameras in my room, everything. And he never came back after we did the holy ceremony for the house. So I was very lucky for that. Just really strange to tell people. And I also had a Victorian couple. They were set back in the 1800s, maybe 1700s. They just looked very, very old, but very proper. And they would follow me around, and I would tell my parents, and my parents would say, well, where are they? And I would tell them, and they would walk to that spot where I said that they were, and the people would walk away, like they didn't want my parents to get near them. And my parents said, well, maybe this is your family. You know, maybe this is your family from your other life. Or maybe it's one of our ancestors. But I've had them watching me, I feel, my entire life. Even at 22, I live by myself now, and there are things that just that can't be explained. And since everything has happened, I'm very spiritual. I have a connection with cats now just because they're spiritual beings. And I have tons of other stories of, like, pictures flying across the room. But thank you so much for having this podcast. I don't know if you can use the story or not, but if you can, that'd be awesome. So if other people have had these experiences, they're not alone. So thank you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. No, obviously, sorry to hear that there's been people, when you share those experiences, you get the reaction of don't ever talk to me again. That's a little uncalled for. I understand people getting scared, people getting confused if they're not very well versed on the topic or just adverse to the topic. But you can rest assured that when you share a story here, you don't have to worry about that sort of a reaction. Going back to defining exactly what it was, I think it may be a jump to say it was the devil per se. Could it have been something very negative? Sure. Could it have been something connected there? Sure. Difficult to say what or who it is. I'd be cautious on that, but it certainly does sound like there was something good and bad battling with you. And I'm wondering, the fact that you're seeing those orbs over your bed at night, if this is something that would be visible to everyone, or if you're someone who is simply just more sensitive than others and you're able to pick up on these things when they're occurring much more than others. That's an interesting aspect of it. I've heard very similar things of people seeing things like that in their bedrooms at night, firsthand from people I know that are very, you know, not into ghosts, to be completely honest, but ended up sharing that with me because they knew what I do. But something that you would not expect to hear from everyone. So just getting things like that out there, I think, does make a lot of people feel more normal, if you will, because I think these things obviously do happen. It's good to hear that the dark that was plaguing you did subside afterwards. And I wonder if that couple you were talking about were part of the good, and that was how it was manifesting at that point in time. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. As you're probably aware, we have the EPP programs here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Those are the bonus episodes that we put out every single week. EPP stands for Extra Podcast Person. That is the main way that our show is supported and kept on the air. I've said, no, we have advertisers every now and then, but it really is few and far between. The ones that actually help us are the ones where, like, we talk about, like Blue Apron that you've heard on here, or Loot Crate. Those are ones that are really supporters of the show. Audible every now and then as well. But our main support comes from you guys, the EPP members. And at $5 a month is all we ask. We give you a brand new bonus episode of the show every single week. And then you get access to all of our back library of EPP bonus episodes. Literally around 120-ish right now. Plus access to all the episodes that have fallen off iTunes. That's in the 300s. So when you come into EPP, you literally get a library of around 400-some episodes of our show that you're not going to find in other places, plus video content as well and other exclusives that we put up throughout the year. You sign up for a year, you get a bunk bed bell so you can ring along at home. That's kind of fun. There's just little perks. Try and make it really, really worth you know, your while. So $5 a month is all it is. Or if you sign up for the yearly membership, you get the bunk bed bell as an added bonus. Here on this the regular episodes, we're going to start doing more previews, more tastes of the EPP bonus episodes, so you can really get a feel for what they're all about and just how creepy the stories are on our EPP bonus episodes. You sign up for them at ghostpodcast.com. Here's a little taste of EPP 117 from a couple weeks back. Check this out. During the first few days of having my new baby, I slept downstairs on the couch. Going up and down the stairs was too hard on my body. The time came when I wanted to move back upstairs to my room, so I settled back upstairs in my room and lay my new baby on my bed, and he napped while I took a quick shower. When I was done with the shower, I went in my room and lay next to my baby. I lay there admiring my beautiful boy, when the feeling in the room suddenly turned very dark. My heart began to pound, and fear took me. I felt evil and hatred all around me, as if something was about to pounce on me. I'd feel this before when I was a child and I encountered a demon in my home. I quickly snatched my baby up in my arms, ran from the house as quickly as I could. I remember standing on the sidewalk in front of the house, staring at my bedroom window, terrified to enter the house. It was just me and my son at home. I didn't want to be alone in this house. I did something about it. Two doors down from my house lived a woman that was a Wiccan priestess, and she was my friend. I went to her house and told her what had just happened and that I was scared to go back into my house. She grabbed her cleansing tools and we went back to my house. I stayed outside while she worked her magic inside. When she was done, she came outside and told me that there were two spirits in the house and that whatever evil had been in my room was now gone. She then asked me if there was any reason something evil would be bothering me, and it dawned on me. I still had my homemade Ouija board under my couch in the upstairs living room just outside my door. Ouija awareness, right? That is on EPP 117. It's a great episode. It's called Religious Weapon, if you want to hear the full story. And as you know, all too often when we have a story of, well, we cleanse the house, we think it's over, that usually is far from the end. You can check that full thing out in EPP 117 at ghostpodcast.com when you are in EPP. If you already are in EPP, thank you. If you're not yet, please consider supporting the show. And by the way, EPP memberships, great Christmas gift, by the way. If you do a yearly one, let me know so I can get you a bunk bed bell to give or to get. You know, if you already are in EPP and you want to give it to somebody else, you know, get that yearly membership. You can get your own bunk bed bell there for your personal enjoyment. And then your friend gets or family member gets a year of ghost stories. Giving the gift of ghosts, it is a good thing, as only we would understand. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, this is Kevin Richards. I'm in Canada right now. I moved to Canada about 5 years ago. I got a ghost story about South Florida. It's there was three lakes in the ranch itself. In the back ranch was a donut-shaped sort of pond. In the middle of the pond was a grave site. There was actually a tombstone on that particular piece of the land there. One day, my family and I were fishing, and I remember fishing on the opposite side of everybody else, just to see if I can catch any more than the others. And I threw my rod in, and the bobber went down in the water. So naturally, I thought it was a fish. So I pulled the bobber up, and nothing was coming out. Like I was reeling it in. So I walked closer to the water, and at that point, I was about 2 feet in. so the water was about up to my knees. And I felt something grab my legs. And when it grabbed my leg, immediate reaction was to jump out of the water. So I threw my fishing rod into the water, and I tried to get out. I ended up falling, and it felt like something was around, like grabbing my right leg and pulling me into the water. In the meantime, I was screaming out to my aunt, and she couldn't hear me. It was a very strange situation. I was screaming. I was literally yelling so loud, and I was getting pulled into the water. Finally, I broke free of whatever it was that was pulling me, and I got to shore. The creepy part about the story is that once I regained sort of my composure, I yelled at my aunt again, and my mother, who was on the maybe 5 feet away from my aunt, was like, "Did you guys hear me scream?" And they said, "No." I said, "The entire time we saw you standing, you know, with the fishing rod." So it was almost like it was very strange. It was like what they perceived me as doing as standing there with the fishing rod in the water, you know, like basically fishing. And it was very strange, because what they saw and what I was experiencing was, you know, it was conflicting. So, you know, that was kind of a creepy thing for me as well, you know. I was getting pulled into the water, and later on in life, maybe 5 or 6 years later, I did some research, and the entire compound was in actual seminal burial ground. And this is information that you actually find if you do your research on, say, Google. And it was actually built around a Seminole Indian burial ground. The Seminole Indians are very prominent in South Florida, so it doesn't come as a, you know, kind of a, it would be relevant, right? So it was kind of a strange situation from what they would were seeing and what I was experiencing. It was like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. Maybe you guys know, but for me, it was very, very traumatizing. You know, I actually have a scar on my left leg when I went down, and whatever was grabbing me by my right leg, I actually fell and scraped, and I still have the gash on my leg to this day. You know, it's a scar. I'm 33 years old, and this happened when I was, say, 11 years old. So kind of a creepy situation. So, you know, just want to share that with you guys and see what's going on. I appreciate your show, and I think you guys are doing amazing. And, keep doing what you're doing. Thanks.
I think one of the most troubling parts of that story is the fact that you have one experience and the people who witnessed it have a completely different one where it conflicts. I mean, you could argue that, you know, you're going through a traumatizing moment or situation. Sometimes your perspective on what exactly is happening may not be 100% accurate. But then you could also argue the same from someone who is watching the situation, and you go back and if you can replay it, you know, as for example, today, if there's something horrific that's caught on video, oftentimes the eyewitness accounts differ from what is in fact on video. That can prove, no, you process this incorrectly because of essentially the trauma that you're witnessing at that moment in time. So that may simply just be the explanation to that part, where it's just both parties trying to process what was going on, and the reality of what actually happened is probably somewhere in the middle of both. But obviously something very disturbing happened to you at that location, and you obviously have the scars to prove it. What it is, who it is, obviously the speculation, you can go to the land, what is there, what may have been there. But again, it's very hard to know based on those details, but clearly something that you don't want to have repeated. Our phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Hannah, and I wanted to tell you guys about I like to call it sleep paralysis because it was the same symptoms of not being able to move. But I believe that this was a real supernatural occurrence that happened to me. I was about 16, 24 now. I don't know if I mentioned that, but I was staying at my boyfriend's house, and, you know, my boyfriend's house was a little bit creepy. It was built in the 40s, you know, and everybody was gone, and I particularly don't like to sleep whenever there's, you know, I like to sleep if there's somebody at the house, right? Anyways, there was no one there. It was just me, and I woke up, and the sun was, you know, peeking through the windows, and all of a sudden, this creepy figure appeared, and it looked like some kind of witch or some kind of old. It was real skinny, real creepy looking. The skin was like blue, dead looking people's skin. It had a hooked nose, pointy teeth, and like straggly hair. And its eye, it had the most evil looking, sad, pathetic eyes I've ever seen. And I swear, I think this thing came from the pits of hell. It was horrible, and it was choking me. I could not breathe. I could hear the microwave dinging and dinging. I could hear the cabinet's doors and the kitchen just opening and closing. And this thing was choking me. I managed to kick it off of me with my knees somehow. I don't know how I managed to do it. But it ended up, I was sitting up in the bed, and it was still in the corner of the bed for about 45 seconds, shaking its head, like, so creepy, like, but it was doing that, and it was horrifying. It disappeared. I ran out of that room as fast as I could, and when I was running to the front door, I looked in the kitchen. All the cabinets were open. The microwave door was open. I was horrified. I shut all the cabinet doors. I slammed them, and I ran outside, called my dad. I said, "You need to pick me up. This is horrible." I told him what had happened, and It was frightening, you know. And my dad, he pretty much thinks it's like it was a demonic spirit as well. But anyways, I wanted to, you know, share that story with you guys. I hope the audience liked it, got a good scare, because it scared the heck out of me. I still haven't gotten over it after all these years. But anyways, thanks for listening, guys. All right, bye.
Thanks for sharing the experience that you had. Oftentimes when we have the stories of sleep paralysis, we need the connection to really be able to look at it in more of a paranormal light. And you certainly had that there, where you woke up and cabinet doors are open and the physical environment that you're in actually had stuff that was done to it, was manipulated. And that's what really makes that disturbing. And I understand why you are very disturbed by it, not just woken up going, "Damn, that was a scary-ass dream." But in fact, you woke up to your environment completely in a way that it should not have been. What was it? Who was it? Obviously, it's not good. Why did it attack you that day and then seemingly, from what we understand, not happen again? I don't know. I would just be thankful that that is where it was left. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Of course, you can also write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Siobhan. I've written in a few different times, and this is the first time calling. I've listened to you since last year and absolutely love your podcast. I love that it's an outlet for those of us who have our stories to tell and have people that don't always believe. And so thank you for that. I am an EPP and absolutely love the show. What I'm calling about today is something that had happened to me that was really scary. I haven't been this scared since I've been able to see spirits. When I was about 15 or 16, my dad created a room down in the basement for me. It was scary at certain points, but, you know, it's a basement. He had cut out a door out of the wall for a makeshift bathroom that he had done. And in there, in the bathroom, there was the nightlight. And I also had a guinea pig and a rabbit whose cages were in the bathroom as well. Now, you could see with light, nightlight through that sheer into the bedroom. So I could pretty much see whatever. He did that for me so I wouldn't be so scared in the basement. It's important to note that I did not have any other pets. It was only the rabbit and the guinea pig, who I would always fall asleep to listening to them shuffle around in their cages before they finally fell asleep. Well, one night, my guinea pig and my rabbit were, I guess, asleep. They were quiet until all of a sudden my guinea pig started making his chattering sound with his teeth as a warning. I didn't understand what this was for. Of course, you know, I was kind of scared. But then I felt something jump up on the bed. Again, you know, we didn't have any other pets. We didn't have any cats or dogs. There shouldn't have been anything that jumped up on my bed. And they were still in their cages. I could see them. So I looked down at the bottom of my bed, which I instantly regretted. And there was this cat-like form, figure, creature, on the bottom of my bed. The freakiest part about it was it kind of reminded me of the Cheshire Cat, only a little more evil, with sharp teeth, and instead of being its normal pink color, it was black and gray. And this thing just sat there and stared at me for quite a while. My father had bipolar disease, and I believe this thing took over him at his darkest moments, or at least helped fuel his rage. I was talking about what I had seen with my mom, and she just stopped and stared at me, and I thought she thought I was crazy, until she said, asked for me to describe it again, and I did. And she said that one of my sister's friends had seen the exact same thing walking around in the living room while she was spending the night one night. She watched it walk down the stairs from kind of like the area where my mom and dad were. And it walked down the stairs, it walked into the dining room, which she didn't see it anymore. So the fact that it walked all the way down to me and ended up on my bed is kind of a scary thought. Why did it pick me to come see? I did end up throwing the blanket over my head, and I hid there for a little bit. It's funny because I always had my toy barrier that was around me. That it sounds funny, but it was something that I always found was very comforting, that nothing could get past this toy barrier. And it didn't. It never passed it. It just sat and stared at me. So whether it was just because it just didn't want to come any closer, or it was because of my toy barrier, I guess I'll never know, but it did end up disappearing. I haven't had anything like that scary happen before or after. I have had many encounters with the paranormal, which I can always write in later, and I have written in about, including one about my dad and a dream I had after he had passed. Thank you. Have a wonderful day, and keep up the great work.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on Real Ghost Stories Online. The toy barrier, you know, I know you kind of joke about it, kind of think, you know, it's one of those things that kids have, you know, the safety blanket, if you will, toy barrier, really same sort of thing. It's this imaginary idea that this object or this thing will keep me safe or keep me protected. And the odd thing is sometimes it does. More times than not, I think it does. And what I'm wondering about with something like that, is it the positivity that is attached to those things, whether it be a blanket, whether it be a bunch of toys? Could it just be that? That is helping to protect from something negative coming in, because there's so many good things attached and good vibes, for lack of a better term, attached to a set of toys, a blanket, whatever object you may be using as that, a stuffed animal. And that in itself counteracts or wants to keep whatever entity it is away. In the exact same way that one would say holy water or sage or whatever you may use as your solution for keeping something away, because it somehow pushes the negative energy the opposite direction. Could something as simple as that be the reason for it? Whereas you look at it as an adult, go, oh, toy barrier, what's that going to stop when it's something, you know, dark trying to get in? Well, it seems to. It seems to do just that. Why? I wonder if that is part of the reasoning there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny Bruschi. This is Juan Collazo from Chicago, Illinois, and I have a very frightening story for you. This took place when I believe, I don't really know how old I was at the time, but now I'm 24, and me and my cousins, when we were young, we were like really, really close. We always went to playgrounds when we haven't seen each other in probably about, we'll see each other and the next time we would see each other would probably be years, much, much older. So it's like we're always around. We get moved from one place to another. And we were younger. And we always played in this big field in the Chicago area. And, you know, our family pretty much trusted Chicago was, you know, it was really dangerous. It's more dangerous now than it was when I was younger. And we played in this little field and everything, and we always, at night, is when we got more creeped out because the field, the park field was surrounded by houses, but none of the lights were on, just the street lights. And we always played hide and seek, and it was literally like six or seven of us, but we always saw like little shadows or anything hiding coming from behind trees, and we never knew why. We always say, okay, I know I'm not the only one that's seen that. My cousin pointed it out. And, you know, it was kind of creepy. Me growing up, me and my cousins, we grew up watching horror movies. So you would think something like this wouldn't really terrify us because, you know, as a child, you don't really, you're traumatized by seeing things like that. We were traumatized. But as we got older, we started to forget it. And I think I read an article in Chicago a while ago. It's a pretty old article, but some graves were destroyed, but they hadn't moved all the bodies from the area. So the tombstones, like the tombs were removed, but some of the bodies still lay in the ground. Come to find out, as I am now, we got up in the park that we played in was actually the spot where it happened. And it kind of creeped us out. We wanted to know we wanted to know what it was that we saw, and, you know, couldn't be anything other than one of the dead bodies that were buried underneath the area. Had we known this, keep in mind, we would have never went there. But I guess, well, it was an old quote I've heard from someone, that all land is haunted. You never know who stayed where before you did. And who've died in that area, we don't know, because they can build a new house where an old house was, and it doesn't mean that the spirits would necessarily go away. If that person died in that area, his spirit may still, or her spirit may still roam in that area. It's kind of creepy when you think about it, but, you know, I still think about it. Sometimes I'm even more terrified to sleep in my house and she stays with me as well, and we have a daughter, and if for some reason she doesn't go to sleep without the door's closed, and the window's closed, and the closet doors have to be closed as well. Well, I believe it that ghosts are real, and I'm actually an EPP, and thank you guys very much for taking the time to hear my story, and have a good one.
Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for being an EPP. That is horrifying. That, I mean, at the same point, to me, your story is one of those where I'm like, oh my God, I'm not going to forget that one, because I don't recall having one quite like that. And at the same point, oh my God. The fact that you were, as a child, out there playing on what you thought was just kind of an open field and an open land, and then it turns out it was unmarked graves because somebody was derelict in their duties of properly moving the bodies where they were supposed to go. I do remotely call seeing that same story, and that is very disturbing. You know, you talk about, we don't know who or what may have lived, you know, where a home is now, previous home. You don't know who died there. You don't know this or that. You know, and I'm fairly cool with that. That's acceptable. That is what it is. You know, but at the same point, I think sometimes you get hauntings not just because someone died at an area. That you can't avoid. You're going to be in places all the time where people died and you're never going to know anything about it. I think it's more so when those people are, you know, there's like disrespect involved. When there's something along the lines of their moral compass is being kicked. And they're like, nope, not going to stand for this. I'm going to have to get up now and show the living. You can't do this. Even though I'm dead, you can't be doing that. There's a lot of places people die and they move on and nothing seems to happen whatsoever. It seems to be more so when something of great disrespect or disregard for that soul, that person who once was there or is lying there, that you end up having things like this happening. So it does make sense where you'd be seeing these things because you're talking about disturbed souls who are completely disrespected, that they decided, oh, well, we don't need to take the time to do this or that. No one's going to know any better. Yeah, people do know better. And eventually that comes back. I remember another horrible story, and I couldn't tell you where it was happening, but it was something where it was along the lines of this, a bit different, where it was a crematorium that was supposed to be cremating the bodies. You know, the family brings it in, they pay their fee to get it done, and then they get an urn of their loved one's remains, the ashes. And what they ended up discovering, and you can Google this, and I'm sure you can find the details on it. It eludes me where this happened, when this happened, but I know this was probably within the last 20 years from what I remember of the story. Turns out, the crematorium had a giant mass grave going on out back, and they were just dumping the bodies back there and then giving people, you know, wood ashes, you know, because who's going to know all the better? And then they discovered essentially this mass grave that was taking place on this piece of property. Talk about a place that good luck not having a ghost there. That's one of those buildings where once that's discovered, you just hope that whoever is involved with the ownership of that land realizes what has gone on there and destroys the building. I mean, but then you still have the property, and how's that really going to resolve itself? I don't really know that it would. There's so many cases where you have buildings where horrific things went on or where a horrific person resided, and nobody's going to buy the property. Sometimes people do buy the property. I mean, for example, you have something, you know, the Amityville house just sold again. You know, and obviously documented murders in that house, not just the haunting, just the murders. Pretty bad shit that goes on there, but still stands and still sells for quite a profit. But then you have other places where it's deemed, no, this place has to go. The Dahmer apartment, gone. They tore that place down. The city we were in recently, the BTK home, from what is known, no murders ever took place in the home, but just the residence itself gone and nothing else ever erected in those sites. And there's, you know, countless examples of that. It makes you wonder, where is the line of, okay, this place has to go, this place can stay? Where is that? Where is the gray line where it's like, ah, this one's acceptable, this one's not? Is it a place in history and a place in time where it, if it stays vacant long enough, people forget? Or what is the deciding factor? I mean, the example, again, going back, you know, the Amityville house, many people murdered in one location. And still, it's a tourist attraction almost. Not on purpose, but it still stands and is a recognizable building. And you know, these other places where, you know, just as horrific things have happened, you know, and sometimes, you know, whatever scale you want to, you know, put horrific on, a little bit more, a little bit less, still horrific nonetheless. These and some other places are destroyed or kept up. What's the line? We decide that this building's done. 855-853-4802. One more call before we wrap up today's show. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, this is Amanda. I live in PA, and I just wanted to call in and tell you about my first ever experience that I had. I was 6 years old, and we were visiting my cousins at the time. We were staying over and sleeping, and I was woken by a sort of scratching noise, and I got up thinking it was the dog needing to go out. And the dog was sleeping, actually, and I heard the scratching noise again. So I looked over towards the source of the noise, and it was at the window, and there was a woman there. She had this long blonde hair, and she was grinning at me. And I just remember that her teeth looked wrong, as if they were somehow sharper than normal, and she had these really dark eyes, and I just remember feeling this overwhelming sense of dread, like something was going to go wrong. And I was very afraid, and I screamed. And my mom and my aunt and uncle ran into the room. I'd scared everybody out of their mind. And my mom looked down at me and asked me what was wrong. And I told her everything. And she thought, I guess, that I was a little bit crazy or maybe was dreaming. And she said that, you know, baby, me and your aunt and uncles and everybody was outside and we were drinking and smoking and having fun and everything while you were sleeping before we went to bed. We didn't see anybody out there. And you know, she kind of wrote it off and told me to go back to bed, but I don't think I'll ever forget it as long as I live. And, you know, obviously I'm 27 now, I still remember it. And I've had a lot of other experiences since, but I just kind of wanted to put that very first one out there. And I'll call back or write in about the other ones eventually, but you know, thank you for the show. It's really great. And thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your experiences with us. We do greatly appreciate that. Of course, there's lots of ways to get your stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can call it at 855-853-4802. Email the audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can always write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of doing that. If you love our show, please consider helping us continue to do it. $5 a month. It costs money to do this show, from everything of just the equipment that we use to the bandwidth, the audio hosting online, to all sorts of stuff that goes on behind the scenes of producing a show like this, you know, every single week. So $5 a month is all we ask. The more EPPs that we have, the better we can do a show and the more things that we can give out to you guys every single week. So you like it, please do your part and help us continue onward. You do that at ghostpodcast.com, ghostpodcast.com, and get yourself all those bonus episodes. Those are some of the best ghost stories we ever have told. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.